This is Dana Monsees, the nutritionist and Whole30 certified coach behind Real Food with Dana, and you're listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. Welcome back, guys. Time for another episode. So we've been doing a lot of food freedom and Whole30 related episodes lately. So we're going to switch gears a little bit, but just a couple of updates first. So I'm actually thinking of switching up my intro podcast music. So let me know what you guys think about that. Any ideas you might have. I'm thinking of doing something a little more upbeat and fun, but who knows? I'm going to play around with that and see how it goes. Also, as you can probably already tell, I'm losing my voice a little bit. We had two swim meets this weekend and I was getting really into it and yelling a lot because I was really excited for my kids. So I apologize in advance for my voice because it is not of the best quality this week, but I'm going to do my best. So thank you in advance for putting up with it. So we have talked a lot about stress on this podcast and how stress can not only be a physically inflammatory process on the body, how it can make you sick or impede any healing that you're trying to do or prevent you from losing weight, actually cause you to gain weight with the metabolic adaptation that we've been talking about. Maybe it gives you hormonal and adrenal issues, and we've talked about a lot of the different causes of stress. Besides the, you know, being stuck in traffic, hating your job, being stuck in a bad relationship, all the way to the physical symptoms of you're not sleeping enough, not eating well, those can both contribute to stress. But then more lately of what we've been talking about is the over-exercising, under-eating, the constant stress of hating your body or constantly dieting or wanting to lose weight, talking negatively to yourself. Those things can also really impact your overall stress threshold that you have going on in your body. But then on the other side of things that we haven't talked a ton about, I think we've only mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast, are environmental factors. So even if you're doing everything right, you know, you're eating well, you're not over-exercising, but you're getting some movement in, you're sleeping well, you're maybe doing an anti-inflammatory diet if you've got some autoimmune stuff going on, or you're going through some other kind of healing process and you're really putting the work in. If these environmental factors are working against you, it could actually be preventing you from getting rid of or at least managing all of the possible stress in your life, because we know you can't eliminate all forms of stress unless you like turn into a Buddhist monk and go live on a mountain somewhere. But even the thought of that is stressful for some people. So just like how we know the food that we put in our bodies is so incredibly important for long-term optimal health, what about the stuff that you're putting on your body every single day, like lotion, shampoo, conditioner, soap, makeup, and especially for the summer, what about the sunscreen that you're putting on your body? So this environmental factor that could be causing you more stress and impeding your body's healing is obviously skincare and everything that you're putting on your body. Because let's think about it. So your skin is actually your body's largest organ. It also absorbs everything that you put on it. So if you actually care about the quality of your foods and the ingredients that are being digested in your body, if you take the time to eat organic, or you make that a priority, or you just do the best you can given the budgetary constraints that you have, what about the things that are being absorbed through your skin? And this, to be honest, was not really something that I had personally thought about until a couple of years ago. Like, being in the paleo, real food, whatever lifestyle blogging space, like, I had known a bunch of people that were into the like super hippy dippy natural skincare, like making their own household cleaners and making their own toothpaste and like deodorant and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, that is way too far out there for me. But if you guys remember when I talked about my personal story, how I was completely baffled when no doctors had asked me like what I was eating, when I was having all sorts of digestive issues, nausea, migraines, and everything like that. Like, they should have looked at what was going in my body, right? Through food, obviously. And that seems so obvious to us now, but like back then I didn't really think about. But I guess this was maybe 2 years ago at this point, I had a similar kind of light bulb moment. So in the past couple of years, I had really been struggling with a lot of skin issues that wouldn't go away, even when I had tried the food route first, because I'm so used to, you know, okay, it starts with food, so no matter what's going on, let's start there and then see what happens. And I was getting really frustrated because I had done all sorts of different elimination diets and I had tried supplements and everything, but all of these skin issues that I had been having weren't going away. I was having random inflammation pop up all the time. Like I've always been a very sunburn prone person because I have very fair Irish skin, but even more than that, like as a teenager I had struggled with really bad acne, and then even now I still sometimes struggle with cystic acne, and I could never figure out what it was. So even despite doing a bunch of different elimination diets and trying to cut out the common foods that can promote acne, like eggs and almonds and processed foods and sugar and dairy and all of that kind of stuff, it didn't work for me. And so I was getting really frustrated. You know, the whole like gut, skin, axis, and everything. If you have inflammation that's being caused by the foods that you're eating, it can definitely manifest on your skin. And for a while, I kind of chalked it up to just a like air quotes celiac issue that I would just have to deal with my entire life. But then I thought about it and like, if I could heal my body by changing the food that was going in it, why couldn't I heal my skin by changing what I was putting on it? And honestly, like, I don't think there's been a more appropriate time in my life for the Homer Simpson, like, forehead slap, duh, movement, right? Honestly, I was very disappointed in myself because I'd done, you know, all of this work on trying to heal my gut and get, healed from celiac, all of the damage to my villi and stuff by changing the food and my lifestyle and supplements and all that stuff. But I have never once stopped to think that the lotion that I was putting on my skin, that the shampoo and conditioner that I was using, that all of the makeup that I was using had a ton of chemicals in it that were actually being absorbed through my skin. And you might not think, oh, okay, well, like, you know, I don't use that much mascara, or like, I don't use that much lotion all the time, or, you know, whatever. But think about it this way. If you're using any kind of conventional, whether it's sunscreen or makeup or lotion, shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, whatever it is, you're using all of those things multiple times in a day, every single day. So you're basically being exposed to all of these not so great chemicals that are then being absorbed through your skin, or sometimes with toothpaste, you're actually swallowing it, even if it's not like a full mouthful or anything. You're getting that every single day. So if you're taking the time to pay attention to your food, to pay attention to your stress, pay attention to your sleep, your exercise, all of these other things, it's kind of silly if you're just neglecting this one thing where you could actually be absorbing these toxins that could be disrupting your endocrine or hormonal systems every single day. So as I already mentioned, the skin is our largest organ. So back when I was like finally having this light bulb moment and figuring all of this out, I was a nutrition student with years of anatomy and physiology under my belt. I knew this, but I didn't realize until that point how equally important it is to take care of what you put on your skin the same way that you do with what goes in your mouth with food. Like, again, another forehead slap, right? Especially for me, like someone who has celiac, or if you have any kind of other medical issues, whether it's autoimmune or you just have inflammation going on, you have leaky gut, whatever it is, you need to be extra careful with what goes on your skin because you already have a background of inflammatory processes going on. And this is really not going to help you if you're putting other things that could be causing inflammation on your skin every single day. So little did I know that when I finally did the bathroom clean out, the same way you would do like a pantry clean out before doing a Whole 30 or any kind of nutrition challenge, I started going through all my bathroom cabinets, almost every single product that I was using on my skin, whether it be lotion, vitamin E lotion that I was using, or like oil or makeup. Not only a bunch of these did they have wheat-derived ingredients, so like, yeah, there was gluten in my skincare stuff, but there were a ton of chemicals that, one, I couldn't even pronounce, so you know that's already a red flag, the same way I teach my clients for nutrition stuff. Like, if you're reading labels and you either have no idea what something is, or you can't pronounce it because it has so many syllables, probably not the best idea to be consuming that either through your mouth or to be putting it on your skin. But a lot of these other things are endocrine disruptors, which means that they can actually mess up your hormones. So for someone like me who had already struggled with hormonal imbalances, thyroid and adrenal stuff, I didn't need freaking makeup or the lotion that I used every single day to tip that balance against my favor when I was already doing all of these other things to try and heal myself. Like, seriously, what the heck, cosmetic companies? What is your deal? But honestly, I can tell you what the deal is. The same way that companies that make processed foods use all of these chemical stabilizers and fillers and everything, they're trying to make their food cheaper so that they can make more of a profit off of you, the consumer. This is the same thing that's happening with makeup and lotions and cosmetics, is that instead of using high quality ingredients because they're more expensive, in order to make the product cheaper, they use a lot of fillers. And those fillers happen to be, most of the time, what are called these endocrine disruptors that can mess up your hormones. So the way that that works is some of these compounds can actually take the place of your hormones on hormone receptor sites. So it's binding to that site and it doesn't let your actual hormones in your body get to where they need to be. So those compounds are basically taking the place of your hormones and not letting your body do what it is supposed to do to function optimally. So if you already have hormonal issues, whether it's thyroid stuff, adrenal stuff, any kind of blood sugar dysregulation, any of that, this is going to impede your healing or mess up your progress even more just by putting this kind of stuff on your skin or in your makeup or whatever it is. And if you're thinking, you know, Dana, like, I don't really use that much makeup at all in the summer. Like, obviously I use shampoo and conditioner and lotion, and then maybe I use aloe vera and maybe some vitamin E oil and then maybe sunscreen. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, I actually use a lot of this stuff every day, even if you don't use a ton of makeup, right? So women actually use an average of at least 12 products a day, which each has potentially dozens of toxic, harmful ingredients that can act as these endocrine disruptors and cause other major health issues. So when I realized all of this, I had to resist the urge to throw out every single thing in my bathroom thinking it was toxic to my skin. Because, okay, let's think about this for a second. That would be probably hundreds of dollars down the drain. And like, if you're listening to this, you know how expensive makeup is and like good quality lotions and like shampoo and conditioner. And here's the thing, like, just because something is expensive doesn't mean it doesn't have any of these endocrine disruptors or chemical fillers or anything like that in it, which really sucks because you would think, yeah, okay, if I'm gonna spend $75 on a thing of perfume, like, this should be really high quality. Well, it might be really high quality, but it might also have some chemical shit in it that's really not doing anything good for your hormonal system or the rest of your body, besides making you smell good. So just humor me, and I'm going to paint this situational picture for you. So basically, I was sitting on my bathroom floor. I had every single product that was in my bathroom strung all around me, all over the floor, and one thing that I highly recommend you guys download is the Environmental Working Group's Think Dirty app, which lets you scan almost every single product that you probably own that has a barcode, and it'll give you a rating on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the like dirtiest and 1 being the cleanest in terms of these endocrine disruptors and potential like cancer-causing compounds and chemicals and all of this other stuff. So what I did is I kind of ranked the stuff. So if there was anything that was like an 8, 9, or 10, like that was not down the drain, but like straight into the trash. Like, these were the kind of things where even if they weren't opened, like, I don't want to donate these things to anyone because I know it's going to be causing more harm than good. You know, like, I might have donated the things that were like 6, 7, 8, but the things that were 9 and 10, like some of the, you know, CoverGirl mascara or like Maybelline mascara, you know, like the pink tube one with the green top that literally everyone has basically from middle school through high school and maybe in college too, like that one was down the drain. Because when you see the amount of chemicals and stuff that are in here, you're just like, oh my God, I feel like I've been betrayed by all of these makeup companies for so long. And you've probably been using makeup since like middle school. So if you're listening to this podcast, that's at least 10 years of using all of this stuff that could have been causing hormonal problems. But here's the thing. So you gotta kind of do this gradually. I mean, sure, more power to you if you wanna do a whole like bathroom, pantry, clean out and scan every single one of your things and then throw away everything that is over like a 3 or a 4, that's going to be a lot of money for you. Is it going to be worth it in the long run? Sure. But like I, in my like low to mid 20s, definitely did not have the money to just do that. So I kind of made a gradual scale out of it. So I started gradually making the transition to more natural products, first with the stuff that actually went in my mouth, so like toothpaste, mouthwash, whatever, and then gradually to the things that stayed on my skin, like essential oils and lotion and stuff like that. So I started experimenting with like oil pulling and oil cleansing instead of face wash, or using coconut oil as a moisturizer and makeup remover instead of conventional products, like a natural deodorant or, you know, so here's the thing with natural deodorant, right? You got to find a kind that actually works. I really like the Primal Pit Paste or Primally Pure, or the Tom's brand is pretty good, because I've found the other ones, they just kind of make you stink all the time. So find a good natural deodorant that works so you don't have to be like the hippie around your friends who isn't wearing deodorant all the time. But then the problem was, even when I was making all of these changes, I was still seeing this inflammation, all of this acne and cystic stuff on my face, which really sucked. So even though I had completely cleaned up my diet, my supplements, and some of my skincare routine from all of the toxins, I couldn't bring myself to throw away all of the makeup I had or the like gallons of sunscreen that I've accumulated from years of swim coaching in the summer. And I had zero idea of where to even start looking for safer alternatives. Luckily, in that app that I was talking about, the Think Dirty app, they do actually give you alternatives of brands and stuff to look for, but that didn't exist at the time when I was doing this. So I just kept on using my stuff, but I always wondered if I was doing more damage than good to my skin, which wasn't getting any better. So before I go any farther with this, I've kind of talked about, I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. If not, we're going to talk about it right now. So there's kind of a sliding scale, or like a good, better, best principle when I teach people when it comes to food. So, you know, on the bad side of it, we're talking standard American diet, lots of processed foods, artificial sugars, drinking soda all the time. You know, everyone would know that this is in no means a healthy diet. On the complete other side of things, you're eating all whole foods, fruits and vegetables, proteins from well-raised animals, no pesticides, totally organic, blah-de-blah-de, hippie bullshit. Okay, not bullshit. Just very extremely clean eating, okay? So you've got standard American diet, one side, and extremely clean, pesticide-free, hormone-free, pasture-raised, blah-de-blah-de, all of that stuff on the other side. The good, better, best principle is, there's a sliding scale between the standard American diet and this super clean eating on the other side. So you don't necessarily have to make that leap straight from standard American diet to completely hormone and pesticide free and worrying about every single thing is organic, because that could be a huge roadblock for people. So if you're trying to transition someone from standard American diet gradually to eating more organic whole foods and caring if there are glyphosates in their food or anything like that, or caring where their meat is coming from or getting wild-caught fish, how about instead of immediately caring about if your chicken was really happy when it was raised and you're eating yolks that are perfectly orange and if you're eating all organic food, what if instead of doing that, you switch someone from eating McDonald's every single day and drinking soda and putting Splenda in their coffee and everything like that, is you just switch the artificial sweeteners to real sugars? Or instead of eating McDonald's every single day, you switch them to a healthier fast food option, right? And then eventually you get them to start cooking some of their own food that happens to be like real whole foods based. So they're eating more fruits and vegetables, they're eating healthy fats, they're eating some starchy carbohydrates. And then eventually from there, you can start to teach them about more organic stuff and why that's important to get pasture-raised meats and wild-caught fish if they can afford it. And then you can start moving them in the general direction to a point where it actually feels comfortable and sustainable for them. And even though they're not on the complete other side where everything is perfect, where honestly, I don't really know many people at all that live in this like la-la land on the other side where every single of their food is perfect. And honestly, that can get a little bit orthorexic for people, not everyone, but some people. But that person who started at this standard American diet, McDonald's every day, artificial sugars, soda every day, has come so far just by taking these small steps along the way. So this same philosophy can also be applied to personal care products and safer skincare and sunscreen and all of that kind of stuff. So if you're starting on the one side with the totally conventional makeup, which is basically the stuff that you see commercials for on TV, you know, the CoverGirl, the Maybelline, the L'Oreal, all of this stuff, and the Neutrogena sunscreen that's like SPF 100. And then on the other side of things, you have people that make all of their own like DIY beauty products and everything. There's definitely a middle ground there that's very safe and even much better for you, at least from, you know, the conventional side of stuff, than going all the way to making your own stuff. Because let's be honest, most people are not going to take the time to make their own stuff, and I've tried to make some of my own stuff, and it just didn't work out well, right? So I want to have some products that I can buy that aren't extremely expensive, that are going to be better for my skin, better for my hormonal system, and all of that. So when you're thinking about making this transition, you don't have to go completely from one side to the other. You can do what I did and like scan things in your app and see like which products that you have the most chemicals in them, the most hormone disruptors and all of that stuff. And maybe you get rid of those, and then gradually as you run out of your other stuff, you can switch over to more safer and more natural alternatives. And then there's also the conception that, you know, when you go completely natural with your products, if you do totally natural deodorant or you do totally natural makeup or like all organic everything, it just doesn't work as well, which I will say the, you know, natural deodorant myth is like kind of true. It's been getting much better recently, but, you know, even just a couple of years ago, if you tried to find like a natural deodorant, it would work for like a good hour and then you would just most likely stink afterwards, you know, and like nobody wants to stink all day, right? So they're kind of these in-between companies where you have, you know, the conventional stuff on one side, you have the complete hippy-dippy DIY stuff on the other side, and then in the middle, they have these things that are like high-performance naturals is what they call them, I think. So these are no longer conventional products. They don't have all of the like chemicals and hormone disruptors. Now, they're not going to be a one on that environmental working group's Think Dirty app. Like, they're not going to be the cleanest thing you can find, but they still work really well and they're much cleaner than the conventional stuff. And so that's where a lot of people will fall in the middle. Is it the completely cleanest thing you can find? No, but they still work really well. And so this is brands like Beauty Counter and Tarte, which I like, and a couple of other brands that I'll share with you guys in the show notes. But don't think that you have to throw away all of your stuff and start making all of your own stuff in order to make improvements in your health and these endocrine disruptors and stuff. Like, you really do not need to go all the way. Now, some people will say if you already have hormonal issues and you need to be eating all organic food because you have all these medical issues and stuff, that then you might be a person who has to go a little bit farther than that. And you maybe shouldn't use like Beauty Counter or Tarte or any of these like more natural than conventional stuff, but not all the way there, because those might not be the best for you personally. But for most people, you know, if you're just trying to clean up your stuff a little bit, to pay more attention to what you're putting on your skin, just the same way you would do with what you're putting in your body via your food, this is a really good place to start. Now we're going to get into a little bit of the why you need to switch over to these more natural things. And not, I mean, beyond the as if disrupting your hormones isn't enough, there are also other things that we need to talk about here. So until recently, when I learned that, you know, in the last couple of years that the products most been used in the US every day are full of chemical bullshit that's harmful to our skin and your bodies, and they're also potentially dangerous to keep using, and we should have stopped using them years ago. So as per usual, the EU is millions of miles ahead of the US in terms of the natural products industry. Like, I've talked about this before, but Italy actually tests their kids for celiac when they're 2 years old and gives government stipends to people who have celiac, hashtag living the dream, so they can buy the more expensive gluten-free food options. Meanwhile, in the US, people still think that someone like me or someone with celiac having to be gluten-free is still a fad, and they're like, oh wait, if you're getting a sandwich, can't you just like take off the bread and be fine? Like, I don't really feel like going to the hospital today. So no, it's not a fad, and don't get me started. But in terms of skincare, The EU has already banned over 1,400 chemical substances and marked them as toxic, banning them from use in skincare products, whereas the US has only banned, I think, 14 of them at this point. So that's cool, meaning there are over 1,300 products that the EU has deemed as unsafe that are still in all of our skincare products in the US, and it's legal. So, solid. Yes, I love the feeling of chemical shitstorms on my face from makeup with my morning coffee. Thank you very much. Dripping in sarcasm, if you couldn't hear that. So, remember back in the day when people started freaking out about how there were food dyes like red number 3459 or blue number 347 or insert random number here or high fructose corn syrup and carrageenan and like all of the processed foods that we grew up eating? So this is the exact same kind of filler shit skincare and drugstore makeup companies are putting in their stuff so that they can manufacture it cheaply. So in the food industry, companies have finally started making it a point to emphasize that those chemical shitstorm type of things are not in their products, but in the skincare industry, not so much. There has been more progress in the past couple of years, but the problem with this now is that companies are realizing that people are paying more attention to what's in their skincare, so they're starting to change their marketing to cater to that, but they're not even necessarily changing the products or the ingredients that are in their products, which is basically just a marketing trick to get you to buy the same products at the maybe even more expensive prices without taking out any of these endocrine disruptors or chemicals or any of that. So that's where these higher performance natural skincare lines come in. So there's a couple of them that are pretty good. So for example, Beauty Counter is pretty good because they're focused on educating people why it's so important to make the switch away from all of these chemical products because we deserve better. So I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I am not a natural skincare or makeup expert. I'm not trying to sell you a bunch of stuff. Like with anything else that I recommend to you guys, I just want to share my experience with making the switch to natural skincare and makeup stuff and how they're affecting me personally, plus some hello, the chemicals, right? Like we already all deal with our own health stuff, and I don't want you guys to be impeding your healing or any of your progress because of the stuff that you're putting on your skin. And like we said before, we're all about real food over here with no chemical additives and stuff to our food, right? So why would you put the same gross things on our skin that you're trying to avoid in your food when you know the kinds of adverse things that they can cause, right? So a little bit about the bad stuff that we and why we need to be avoiding it before we get to the good stuff. So decades of studies are indicating that serious health issues, including but not limited to thyroid and adrenal problems, food allergies, and GI conditions like celiac, cancer, infertility, asthma, and learning disabilities are on the rise, due in some part to our ongoing exposure to toxic chemicals, whether it's in the shower, on your commute, while we eat at lunch at local restaurants, when we clean our kitchens at home, or maybe even what you're putting on your skin. The US has actually not passed a major law to regulate the safety of ingredients that are used in personal care products since 1938 WT actual F. And that is why I made the switch personally to switch over to these safer skincare products. We're going to talk about sunscreen today. I'm going to talk a little bit more about makeup. And I think one thing that makes me different from a lot of the people that are promoting these natural skincare stuff is I personally don't think you need to make the switch over immediately to all organic, supernatural products all at once, unless you have like an extreme health condition. Like, you know, if you have cancer or something, definitely should not be using any of these endocrine disruptors because your immune system is so down already that you really can't afford to be using anything that could potentially make you worse. But for most generally healthy people, gradually making the switch over to safer skincare stuff would be a great move for you. So specifically, since it's summer, we're going to talk about sunscreen. So sunscreen has always been a huge deal in my family. I basically grew up at the pool, at the lake, running around in the sun all the time. As you guys know, I've been a swim coach for, I think it's 7 years now. So that's 7 summers out being in the sun at least 6 hours a day between morning and afternoon practice, plus swim meets on Wednesdays and Saturdays, plus I was a swimmer on that same team growing up for... Oh my gosh, I'm gonna date myself here. That was at least 13 years on that team. Plus, then I was a lifeguard after that. So basically, I'm in the sun a lot in the summer. And I come from a very pale Irish family. RIP my skin and my dad's, because my mom's side is Italian and my brother and my mom actually tan, but I do not. Jealous much? It's fine. So layers on layers of sunscreen were always a must, especially because we've had a few skin cancer scares in our family. So 2 summers ago, as I started getting into more of natural makeup and all this stuff that we've been talking about, I started looking into my sunscreen and I found out some pretty sketchy shit about conventional sunscreen. So while I was coaching swimming outside for the whole summer, I actually barely used sunscreen last year. And I was just more mindful of my sun exposure. And I actually got less sunburned than any other summer before. So that was a weird light bulb to go off in my brain. And then I was pretty much like, what if we've been doing it wrong this whole time? And what if the sunscreen we've been using is actually more toxic than the sunburns themselves? And was the sunscreen that I've been using, which was just the normal Neutrogena or like whatever the sun bum stuff is, like, you know, your normal conventional sunscreens that you can get in CVS or Costco or whenever you go to the beach, what if those were actually causing more damage from the chemicals that you are absorbing in that sunscreen than the sun's UVA and UVB rays, which we've been taught are so dangerous are basically going to give you skin cancer if they even touch your skin without sunscreen? So we're going to go back to the Environmental Working Group, also known as the EWG, for this because, you know, their Think Dirty app is amazing, and I did a lot of research with them on this. So their yearly sunscreen review has showed that some sunscreen ingredients absorb into the blood and some can have some toxic effects. Some release skin-damaging free radicals in sunlight. Some can act like estrogen and disrupt hormones, which is what I was talking about before. Several can cause allergic reactions and skin irritation, and the FDA has not actually established rigorous safety standards for sunscreen ingredients. So yes, we definitely all want to prevent ourselves and our loved ones from getting skin cancer, but there have been many different studies starting in the 90s that show a correlation between the increased use of sunscreen and a higher risk of developing malignant melanomas, especially among those who use the most sunscreen. And many sunscreens contain chemical ingredients that actually may be the cause of hormonal disruption. So again, WTF, is our sunscreen toxic? So each year, the EWG publishes a sunscreen guide after reviewing about 750 conventional and natural sunscreens for safety, effectiveness, and to evaluate their label claims. So here's what they found for last year. So almost 3/4 of the products that they examined offered inferior sunscreen protection or sun protection and contain worrisome quote-unquote ingredients like oxybenzone, a hormone disruptor, or retinyl palmitate, a form of vitamin A that actually may harm skin. There is little scientific evidence to suggest that sunscreen alone reduces cancer risk, particularly for melanoma, the most deadly type of skin cancer. Despite a growing awareness of the dangers of exposure to the sun's ultraviolet radiation, so UV rays, and a multi-billion dollar sunscreen industry, melanoma rates have actually tripled over the past 3 decades. So that sucks, right? And it seems like all gloom and doom, but the good news is I'm going to share with you guys a bunch of things that I learned in all of my research so you don't have to shuffle through it yourself, and then you can go forward and find some better sunscreens that aren't going to cause all of these problems and can prevent you from getting bad sunburns too. The first one that completely blew my mind was that SPF over 50 does not mean anything. So people assume, like myself, I totally assumed this at first, that the higher the SPF, which means sunburn protection factor, the more that they are protected from the sun's harmful rays and the longer they can spend out in the sun. Mistake number one. So in 2011, the FDA stated that SPF higher than 50 is inherently misleading. Yes, that was their words, inherently misleading. And any SPF over 50 is no more effective than SPF 50 itself. So there's no extra protection more than SPF 50. So if you're buying SPF 60 or 75 or 100 plus, which is totally what my family used to buy, there is no difference from SPF 50. So the organization moved to join many industrialized nations in capping SPF at 50, meaning the FDA was trying to do this. But the rule still has not been finalized 7 years later. And as we know, there are still tons of products on the shelves with high SPF numbers that aren't doing anything but basically taking your money. Next thing that I learned is that sunburn is primarily caused by UVB rays, but UVA rays are also harmful. So over the past 10 years, skin cancer researchers and dermatologists have concluded that for sunscreens to be effective, they should shield from both UVA and UVB rays, but most sunscreen products only block UVB rays or only contain a fraction of the protection of UVA rays. So when you're looking for sunscreens, look for broad spectrum protection. But here's the thing, is we need the sun to live. The sun doesn't only cause cancer, meaning it's not all bad, but it's actually essential for your health because sunlight is the number one source of vitamin D3. Without it, plants couldn't grow, our immune systems wouldn't function. Vitamin D3 is essential for absorbing calcium, improving mood, fighting cancer, and boosting your immune system, among many other benefits. So getting 15 to 30 minutes a day of sunlight without sunscreen is perfect to get your vitamin D exposure for the day. Just don't go totally crazy and burn and say, I told you so, because I did not tell you to do that, and that won't do you any favors. So common sunscreen ingredients like retinyl palmitate and oxybenzone, and I'm also going to spell these out for you guys in the show notes because you may have no idea how to spell those and how to look for them. But those two in particular can cause skin tumors, hormone disruption, and allergic reactions. So some key takeaways here and ingredients to avoid, and again, I'm going to put these in the show notes because I'm probably going to mispronounce some of them, but avoid sprays as best you can because you can inhale them. In 2011, the FDA said it would ban sprays unless companies could provide data to show that spray sunscreens do protect skin and pose no safety hazards to consumers, and they're still waiting on the data 7 years later. So oxybenzone is a common UV filter used in sunscreen, and it is a known hormone disruptor and allergen. Basically, what it does is it penetrates the skin, enters the bloodstream, and acts like an estrogen in the body, and it can also trigger allergic reactions for the skin. Now, retinyl palmitate is also a common sunscreen additive, and the form of vitamin A that can harm skin when exposed to extended sunlight. So let's back up a second here. An ingredient that is commonly used in almost every single conventional sunscreen is a form of vitamin A that can actually harm skin when it's exposed to extended sunlight. So you're putting something on your skin that is supposed to protect you from the sun because you know you're going out in the sun. Yet, with prolonged exposure to the sun, which is what you're doing when you're trying to put on sunscreen, this chemical is actually going to cause more harm than any protection. So government test data is showing that more skin tumors and lesions on animals treated with retinyl palmitate and are exposed to sunlight than any other chemical. So that's a little bit disturbing. And there are a bunch of other ones that I probably can't even pronounce, but a big one to remember is also parabens. So what sunscreen options do we have? So there are two types of natural sunscreen. There are mineral and non-mineral sunscreens. Mineral sunscreens are the ones like zinc oxide, which are literally a sun block. So think beach lifeguards with the white stuff on their nose that doesn't rub in no matter how hard you try. These are a pain in the butt. They work very well, but some of the brands that I've tried, like, let's see, what is the one that I really did not like this summer? Oh, the Goddess Garden Organic Sport Natural Mineral Sunscreen. It's an SPF 30. I'll show you guys the picture of it. Not to knock this company, but holy moly, I tried putting this on at the beginning of swim season this year and I just looked like a white ghost, like even more white than I normally look. And my skin is basically translucent all of the time, except in the summer. So do not recommend that one. A couple of my favorite natural sunscreen brands. So I do like the Beauty Counter ones. There's a Raw Elements EcoForm sunscreen, Kula Mineral Face Tinted Moisturizer, the Alba Botanica Natural Hawaiian Aloe Vera Sunscreen, the Kiss My Face Sunscreen. Also, some good brands are the Honest Company, Badger, Block Island Organics, and Bear Republic Mineral Sunscreen. So again, I'm going to link all of those in the show notes so you don't have to remember all of them. So when you're buying a new sunscreen or just checking out the ones you have in your cabinet, it's best to check out the Environmental Working Group's sunscreen guide or maybe the Environmental Working Group Healthy Living app or the Think Dirty app. If you're lazy, that's fine. Like I said, I've already gone through for you and picked out some of the best ones that you can either order online or get someplace like Whole Foods. So you don't even have to do the work because I've already done it for you. And then one last thing before you guys go, because I know I'm going to get a question about this, because yes, I do get sunburned sometimes because I have very pale Irish skin. But some people have been asking me what I like to do post sun to make sure I'm not damaging my skin in case I do get sunburned. Like, for example, this Sunday when we had a swim meet, and I totally didn't realize that normally we have a tent when we're coaching that I was standing under, and this time we did not. So I got a nice tank top tan, aka sunburn, that turns into a tan for me later. So what I like to do is I get some aloe vera and some vitamin E oil, and sometimes some jojoba oil, which is spelled like jojoba oil. And I mix all of those three in like a little container, or I just put it in my hand, like pretty much equal parts of each of them, and mix it up and then just rub that all over my skin and stand and let myself dry in front of the fan. Do not recommend doing this in front of an open window. God, I just cracked myself up. It's fine. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Would love to hear your feedback if you want me to talk about this more. I know there were some requests for me to talk about personal care products, so like women things. Sorry, guys, this would not be a great episode for you to listen to when I do that one. But yeah, let me know what you think of this episode. I have more guests coming up that are going to be talking about food freedom and stuff like that, because I know you guys are loving those episodes. But I'll talk to you guys next week. I hope you have a great weekend. And P.S., don't forget to check the show notes if you want to look up the brands that I was talking about in this episode. Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends, and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.